You are now listening to The Social Hour.
They're not PC, so if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm.
I'm Mexican with a GED. What do you want from me?
Get ready for the social hour.
Live from Dice World Studios in San Antonio, Texas, this is The Social Hour. On today's show, from Flip City Magazine and the Creative Chaos Podcast, Christy McKenzie. And now your host. He heard that the Pope died on Easter, but he thinks the Pope's gonna come back in 3 days and pull the funniest prank ever. Dees Casillas!
Malam Keen, everyone, welcome to the show. This is The Social Hour. I am Dees. Thanks for coming back around, guys. We are doing a great job getting back on this weekly track for you. There will be some bumps coming up in the next couple months, I know, because I've got a lot of travel, but I'm doing my best to plan ahead, get some episodes banked, and get these out for you. So we're trying to keep the audio version going once a week before we get back on that track like we used to do. We're closing in on our 500th episode, and I've got some plans for that. So if you've been a longtime listener, we're going to try to bring back some of the oldies and goodies from past staff on the show, producers, news anchors, and we're going to see what we can do to get some people together for this 500th extravaganza. I think we totally forgot to celebrate the 400th. It was probably during COVID and whatever. So we're going to do something cool for the 500th, bring some people back, have a little fun, get loose, and have a good time. But we're here today. If you haven't started following us on the Madness Network, you can now catch live video episodes streamed every other week on the Madness Network. We're doing those. Those are Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Central Time, I believe. If it's not, just watch it always and you'll find my show and many others. So, but we're out there. They're putting us on all sorts of different platforms, so we're happy to be a part of that team too. And a couple announcements, guys. Let's see. This, if you're listening to this the day it comes out on the 23rd, I will be at Galveston Bay Brewing tomorrow night, the 24th, doing live stand-up comedy. Come check that out. I'm excited for that show. I love that area. I love the people out there, so that's going to be fun. Tickets are selling fast. I'll be at the Mexicana Cafe next Friday, May 2nd, and then doing stand-up comedy. And then May 3rd for Free Comic Book Day, I'll be at Dragon's Lair Alamo Ranch in San Antonio, Texas. We're doing a really cool event. They're going to have lots of awesome comic book creators, like big comic book creators, and then me. I'm going to be there signing. We're going to be debuting Kill Stand number 2. We're going to have all four covers, and we've got a special CGC 9.8 signature series from yours truly, yourself, signed, ready to raffle off that day to one lucky winner. So come check that out. That's going to be an awesome event. And then May, I am just packed to the gills with stand-up comedy and conventions pretty much every weekend and a lot during the midweek. So hit the calendar on deescomedy.com. Come see me live doing comedy. Check out inferno.earth website or us on Instagram and get the lowdown on where we'll be on conventions, because we're doing a ton. So that's it, guys. Oh, and also our shop on inferno.earth is 100% up and running. We've got all the covers up there that are available for number 1 and 2. You can order directly from the shop. We get an email. Everything's drop shipped to you usually the next day. So go there. You can still go to the Kickstarter, but like it's all late pledge stuff. It's cheaper on the website and we get that stuff quicker and can get it out to you faster. So that is that. Go check it out. Number 2 is coming at you fast and we are already working on number 3. So that's it, guys, for the announcements. Other than that, we are going to get into it with our guest today. She is also part of the Madness Entertainment Network. She is the creator of the Flip City Magazine and hosts the Creative Chaos Podcast please welcome to the show, Christy McKenzie.
Hey, Dees.
Hey, Christy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing? It's so nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you too. Where are you coming in from today?
Southern California, but in the mountains of Southern California.
In the mountains, so. In the Sierra Nevada somewhere. Where are you at? What are you up in Big Bear?
No, Sierra Nevada's would be more northern. So I am in the San Bernardino Mountains. Anybody that's familiar with Lake Arrowhead or Big Bear, that's my mountain.
Nice. I do like that area. I do like that area. So far enough away from the city to get away from all the craziness. How long have you been out that way?
So I grew up, in Southern California, there's an area that is not Orange County and not Los Angeles. It's kind of tucked in the armpit of those two, called the Inland Empire.
Oh, yeah.
And I grew up in the Inland Empire, but it includes a couple different counties and a bunch of different cities.
What are you, San Luis Obispo, Temecula, where are we at?
Gosh, I don't even know if Temecula would be the Inland Empire. So the Inland Empire is like Riverside, San Bernardino.
Yeah, Corona, all that.
So I'm part of an empire of stink.
Yeah, that's
except for my mountain. Sure, it's beautiful up here.
I grew up in Long Beach, so I'm very familiar with that whole area. I wouldn't call that area the empire of anything.
Big. I don't know what it's big in landmass. Okay. Yeah,
the only thing they've conquered is minimum wage. They're working to conquer minimum wage and higher crime rates. I don't know.
Yes. Also, right at the base of where I live, of the mountain, San Bernardino, apparently is a major hub for MS-13.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, so major crime hub.
Right on.
Human trafficking.
Love that.
You know, it's just right down the street for me.
Tuck and roll to your car. Don't get fooled into helping people move anything into a shipping container. Listen, you never know when. Although here's the thing, if they don't tell you about human trafficking, is that's a free vacation. You know, you get to go, so you never know where you might end up in the south of South Pacific, right? You always want to see the Philippines. You never know.
Right.
Sure, you're missing a kidney, but who needs two? Don't be selfish. Dogs live with one. You know, other people need kidneys too, you know.
I'm already offended.
You want to keep both kidneys offended? You need both kidneys? That it is crazy out there. I grew up in Long Beach, and I moved away in like 2009 though. I was after the, you know, economic collapse. It was just too much. I was out of there. So.
Okay, so you've been away for a long time. So you're one of the people. So you grew up in Southern California.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yep. More
and race. I'm assuming you consider yourself a patriot.
A patriot of California, like, of the country?
No, like of the United States. Like you like the Constitution.
Sure. I don't know if I'd pick up a gun and march for us, but I would. I'd defend my piece of land I own.
Basically, I call you a California traitor. Okay. we need as many liberty-loving individuals to live here as possible, and everybody keeps leaving.
Yeah,
I'm holding ground over here behind enemy lines.
Talk to Gavin Newsom. You know, that's your one.
I know. I think eventually we'll be mocked and ridiculed for staying in California, trying to be the patriots in California enough to where we will escape. But I think my escape state will be Utah.
I know. Yeah. Utah's nice. I like that. The I just love the heat. So I'm Latino and I love the heat. So I wanted to be somewhere warm and around Latino culture again. So here I am in San Antonio. It fits both those. I also wanted a state where they kind of like just don't bother you. They just kind of leave you alone and let you do your thing. And better tab business taxes. So I found all found all those things in Texas. Checked all my boxes. Yeah. Yeah, you're brave for being behind enemy lines in California now. Still, it is You know, I was talking to my parents about this last night because we, you know, I always consider where, you know, how long I'm going to stay in Texas. I do like it here, but, you know, talk about trying to find somewhere, buy some bigger piece of property and something with some a little more sustainable with water source and stuff like that. And you don't really have that in Texas. So, you know, I thought about like Northern California.
But you do have your own energy grid.
Yeah, which is good and bad, depending on you know, how things go, you know. It was bad a couple years ago when, you know, the whole power grid went down and Texas was fucked for a while. But it is good if the rest of the state goes down and we're the only ones left.
Right.
But, you know, I've looked at like Northern California, you know. But even then, it's like, you know, how much the taxes in California and, you know, you can kind of get away from like at least what's going on in the cities, you know, as far as like culturally, you can kind of escape that stuff. But man, you can't escape the taxes and things like that.
Yeah, I'm still pretty convinced that California actually is a red state. It's just the corruption is so bad.
Sure.
And, yeah. You know, there's probably a lot of voter cheating and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. We'll just see what happens. I'm sticking it out until, you know, the power grid goes down in all other states, then everybody's flooding to Texas to charge their cell phones.
Right, to charge their Teslas. or I guess they don't do that anymore because that's a vile right-wing propaganda tool now, Teslas or whatever they decided. You know, electric cars are the future until they don't like the guy who started the company. then let's kill them all. And fuck the ozone. It's a fun game, you know? It's just, what do we hate more? This random guy who owns a company or the ozone layer in our earth?
Right. I don't know if you've seen a lot like on social media, people responding to, you know, leftist insanity saying, make it make sense. They're like this and that. And I'm like, I stopped a long time ago trying to make any of their flip flopping.
You know,
make sense. It's a losing battle.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing because I'm actually like consider myself libertarian. So like I'm very much centrist on a lot of ideas. I have a lot of liberal ideals when it comes socially, but I'm fiscally fairly conservative. You know, I do think we need some, even though I'm a product of immigration and illegal immigrants, I do think we need a border and things like that. You know, listen,
you an anchor baby?
Yeah, listen, I'm papered. The rest of you, I don't give a fuck what happens. Okay, I got my papers. I'm good. You've got to have some sort of rules and regulations, right? And it's always tough because when I have conversations with almost anyone, it's very asymmetrical because if I say one thing this way, then, oh, you're a Trump lover. If I say one thing the other way, it's like, oh, you've leftist liberal. I'm like, no, neither. I don't want association with either of those things. I there's no way you're going to find 100% agreement with that. I want to look at every topic objectively, individually, not just put it under a box of red or blue.
Right. Yeah. Since publishing our magazine, which is very, it's very centrist in its stances, you know, you won't ever know exactly where, you know, our politics stand, because that is the purpose of satire, right? Is
sure.
to kind
yeah,
of
yeah.
make fun of everything that's going on. We have realized, because we were marketing towards more of the right leaning people,
sure,
but then realized how culty that site is too.
Yeah, yeah.
You say the wrong thing and they are all knives out.
It's very hard, you know, and that's, I think that's one of the biggest problems. You know, and this is cliche. This isn't like a super original thought, but I think it is worth repeating. Is it's one of the biggest problem, in my opinion, as to why America is fractured the way we are, is because people are so stuck in this binary thinking, and there's no wiggle room, because if you show any weakness at all, then it's this reflection of a crack in the armor as far as everything you believe in, you know, which it shouldn't be that way. You know, we should be willing to look at anything and be like, oh, you know what, like, I get that a little bit, I don't agree with that, that makes sense, that's totally retarded, this is good, you know, like, you know, you just, everything should be a case by case, instead of just we're this, there's no room for anything else, and if you're not this also, then fuck you and die.
Yeah, you know, it is funny too, because I think for maybe about a year and a half, 2 years, I was identifying myself politically as conservative. And then just the further I went into it, I'm like, I'm not, I feel politically homeless.
100%. Actually. Yeah, same.
You know, so I guess that is what a libertarian is.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it is kind of a weird, that is part of the problem. I've actually, so I've like done a lot of campaign stuff for the libertarians. I've done, you know, fundraising events for them, done stand-up comedy, a lot of events for them. Every 4 years when the election cycle comes around, I have the presidential candidate on the podcast. But that is part of the problem that I always talk about with leadership in the Libertarian Party when we discuss things, is that, like, it's such a catch-all for everything, like, let your freak flag fly, whatever you want to do, be whatever you want to be, that it kind of makes it so hard to, not that you want to be put in a box, but you have to kind of quantify some sort of structural ideals, right? And that kind of flies in the face of libertarianism. So it becomes this tough catch 22 of like, well, we want, so you have like infighting in between libertarians. There's like this new woke libertarian movement, and it's like, oh my God, you know, they can't even, it's so.
Yeah, I can see how it's super sticky. And I totally understand why libertarians are made fun of.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's, you know, it's one of these things where I get a ton of shit because, you know, the extreme right or left, all more so the left when it comes to this conversation, wants to call me like a fence sitter, and I'll just, you know, I let the other side run wild. And I'm like, no, I go, I just refuse to be complicit in a system that is rigged to fuck over us in forcing me to choose the lesser of two evils, as opposed to actually putting up competent people who can actually make a difference and care about this country. Like, until that happens, I'm not going to be forced into this binary thinking of like, well, like, this one's better than this one. I'm like, no, they're the same person in different color ties. I don't care, you know?
Right. Well, you know, on kind of on that note, because I've seen this, because I also follow kind of a lot of people that are more anarchy leaning. Like,
sure,
in fact, the Voluntarists are like the biggest supporters of Flip City Magazine. Like, I fucking love Voluntarists, but I also see the big problem with them as well. You know, there's, you know, you're kind of letting a little too much liberty.
Sure.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah,
like, my lord. you know, like, but, you know, to the point of like moral degradation and shit like that. But, I don't even remember what my point was. Although some of my favorite people are Voluntarists. Like, they are
sure.
The chillest, coolest ass people.
Yeah.
No, my point was a lot, you know, basically saying if you're voting, you're just contributing to the system and it's never going to end, blah, blah, blah. What are your thoughts on that? Because I'm like, kind of makes sense, actually, because, you know, it is always the lesser of two evils.
Right.
You know, who wants to be ruled over? None of us want to be ruled over, do we?
Yeah. Well, I always said that it's like, you know, if we were like taking the Boy Scout troops up to the up to Mount Pinos for the weekend, right? To get to go camping all weekend, and we're like, oh, it's Super Bowl weekend, and we're like, what dad's gonna take him up there? And so, you know, Rick in the back's hand shoots up, and like, I'll take him. And you're like, Now, fuck you, Rick. You're going to diddle some kids. No, you don't. Nobody wants this job. Why
Rick
do you want?
Rick is totally a diddle name, yeah, too, isn't it?
Bro, 100%. Rick's diddling kids. If you're listening, Rick, put the diddling down.
Or start going by Richard. Brother.
Yeah, yeah. You got to. Yeah, Ricky. Something. No, Ricky's too. That's someone who gives kids pot. That's the guy who's willing to buy 13-year-olds a 6-pack of O'Doul's at the, you know, at the, or Schlitz at the local Conoco. Ricky smokes Native American cigarettes, and he rolls his own cigarettes, you know.
Hey, listen, for a smoker that wants to save money rolling your own cigarettes, it's okay.
That's true. I used to, when I smoked, I rolled my own cigarettes. They were, but yeah, it, you know, but you know, if someone wants, what my point is, if someone wants the job so bad, I instantly don't trust you. So when it comes to the president or any position of power like that, if someone wants that job so bad, it instantly makes me question that person's integrity and what their intent is.
Indeed.
So,
well, yeah, and if they can even get that far, imagine how compromised they are.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to get to the point 100%. Where they can run for president.
Right. Yeah, yeah. How many visits to Epstein's Island? You know, how many Diddy parties did they go to?
Right.
Get on video doing something. And this is the crazy thing too, Christy. The further we go down this road and the more we start to realize kind of the, at least people who are paying attention at all, you know, the things that start to come out about this kind of, whatever you want to call it, the institution, legacy media, the deep state, you know, all these kind of things, like this whole Epstein thing and just things associated with that, where like we start to see this web that isn't really conspiracy anymore, but we're starting to understand like these things are true and happen in the intelligence community and how controlling they are. And most people are just like, yeah, what are you going to do? And they just keep going on to, you know, they're like, let me watch some more reels. I'm going to beat off to my avatar on YouPorn or, you know, and you're like, gee, you're like, really no thoughts of that? Like nothing, you know, like we don't care. We're just moving on. And people are like, yeah, you know, it's, what are you going to do? The new, you know, the new season of Last of Us is coming out, and it's like, whatever.
You know, it's very funny because I'm actually, now I'm not beating off to people's avatars or whatever, but I think I've been a conspiracy theorist so long that now I'm actually at that point where, okay, cool.
Well, sure, what's
gonna
like desensitized.
What the hell's going to happen with it? I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm just going to keep publishing my magazine. I'm not beating off, I swear.
Well, give it time. There's still time. The crazy thing is, too, is that in all that people, you know, people act like no one has ever conspired to do anything, right? And you're like, they have a lot of times. There's a lot of evidence of it, you know? I mean, you know, that is proof of what the American government and other governments have done. But still, they're like, ah, no, I don't, you know. I mean, there's still people clinging on to the idea that, you know, COVID came from a bat in a wet market. And you're like, no, they're like 100%. It was the lab, the Wuhan now, coronavirus lab, you know?
Now, see, let me ask you this, because I feel like you might be able to give me a decent answer, is how many iterations of where COVID came through has become official knowledge? Like, I have no clue. Like, I don't even know if, like, yeah, I mean, what's the official story now?
Well, here's the thing. No one cares about the official story anymore. I read an article recently that basically, who printed it? It might have been in the, it was a credible newspaper. And they printed this article that was basically saying that like it's with 100% certainty that COVID was from the lab, right? But the thing is, that was years, nobody cares. People have moved on. You know, and there's whereas like, yeah, you guys are moving on, but you're the people who were dead wrong about this for years and, you know, ruined people's lives financially, ruined their, you know, couldn't cancel them off Twitter and YouTube and, you know, could demonetize their platforms because they were, it was hate speech. And, you know, everyone was a racist if you called it, said it was from China. And then it's like, oh, well, yeah, actually, yeah, it was this from this lab in China. But it's like this little article years later that no one pays attention to.
Right.
So, you know.
Yeah. The whole COVID thing, really, that's what made me lose faith in humanity. Like, I'm such a liberty-loving person. I thought, you know, because you view humanity, at least I do, through the perspective of who you are, right?
Yeah,
so you're like,
sure.
Oh, people are generally this or that. And it's kind of a reflection on who you are personally. And so when the COVID thing popped off, I'm like, oh, dude, nobody's going to do this bullshit lockdown or this or that. And boy, was I wrong. I was like, wow, people are very, very easily led.
Yeah.
And it was just heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And continues to break my heart, you know. I mean, I have a niece that, like, finally, after the whole vaccination thing and all this, you know, she goes to school and didn't get her, like, third round of vaccinations and is, like, super proud of herself because she's like, Aunt Christy, I didn't. I took off my wristband saying that I was fully vaccinated because I thought that was stupid. I'm like, you go, girl.
You get it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, finally, you know, you're fully vaccinated or whatever. Or I don't know. But yeah, her, what she said to me was, I know nothing like this will ever happen again. And I'm like, listen, it's not going to be the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Just keep that in mind.
Yeah.
It's more about when somebody, you know, starts trying to over control, like the entire population's life, you know, what they're doing with their lives. That's when to, like, let your alarm bells ring off. And, you know, she'll get fooled again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's the thing is, what people don't realize is that it's incremental. You know, it's a long game for the people in charge. You know, I mean, some of this stuff dates all the way back to, like, the Patriot Act, you know, in enacting basically spying on citizens. Then, you know, Obama puts it back into a law that you can propagandize citizens, you know, Americans. And then, you know, they start turning a blind eye to the CIA running operations on American soil. And you just, it just becomes this, or like, then you can detain people, without due process indefinitely in Guantanamo Bay, including American citizens. It's like, Yeah. They're just, it's a long game for them where, for, you know, people are like, oh, it's, you know, it's all connected. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm. So, indeed.
Yeah.
Anyway, we came in hot, man.
Yeah,
like, we've only been talking, let's see, it says 27 minutes here in a few seconds. And it's like, we're hitting COVID, we're hitting CIA, like, this is getting a little too harsh for me. I'm starting to get depressed.
That's all right. It's okay. So let's change gears a little bit. Let's talk about you and your Flip City magazine. Tell us a little bit about the magazine, how it came to be, and what exactly it is.
All right. So Flip City Magazine is a comic satire magazine in the tradition of Mad and Cracked, but made for today's thinking person. It also is kind of more advanced than Mad and Cracked was.
Sure.
We all know that Mad and Cracked kind of jumped the shark, I would say, even as early as the 90s, and started going downhill after that, and neither are in publication in print anymore.
Yeah.
Mad is still publishing, like, stuff from the old days and stuff like that, but there's nothing new to them. If there were any time in history that a satire magazine was needed, it is right now, because there is so much to satirize and make fun of and shit on and... holy shit, people also need a laugh, right?
Yeah.
So we developed the concept in 2019. Scott McKenzie, who happens to also be my husband, but that's less important. he is the mad mind behind Flip City Magazine. And in 2019, we created the concept of it because we were thinking of doing things like animation, like telling you know, satirical stories and doing comedy via animation. But for anybody that's familiar with animation, it is a lot of sweat equity to put into something that then you're going to put online for free in hopes that you grow an audience.
Yeah.
We kind of switched gears and decided to start developing things that we want to animate by publishing them in the magazine first. So in 2020, in February of 2020, we launched volume one, which this is impressive. And I'm sorry for anybody that is only listening to the podcast. Hold on, my headphones. February 2020, I was brought this cover by Scott.
Yeah.
And I said to him, which by the way, it is a mask with the virus in front of it. I said to Scott, oh, this is going to be in and out of the news cycle in no time. And he's like, no, Christy, this is going to be the thing. And it turned out to be the thing. So I'm super proud of our, like, of our very first edition cover.
Yeah, ahead of your time.
Yeah. And so the content that you will find inside Flip City is 100%. We started saying it's anti-PC. But then we realized the younger people didn't know what PC meant. And so then we kind of became anti-woke.
There you go.
And so we're basically a satire magazine that's anti-woke or not woke guaranteed. It's hilarious. We do parodies of popular culture things. We have fake news and fake reviews. Over the last 5 years, we've grown our contributor basically, we've published 60 different people. And it's been a really, really great time publishing the magazine and finding out that the arts and culture actually isn't controlled. I mean, it is controlled by the left, but there are so many liberty-oriented, free-thinking individuals in the arts that just haven't ever had an opportunity to be published because everything that's published is controlled by the left, basically, by the crazy people. So it's kind of also our expression in pushing back on, you know, the left ruling culture. And that's been a journey as well to realize how little conservatives support culture creation. You know, it's kind of more about the clout and the news cycle and politics, and it's all very lame and boring.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to find a new way to get that material to people and get them moving. You know, sometimes it takes something like comedy to ignite a revolution.
I think a lot of comedians are doing right now. I feel like at the beginning of COVID, like way too many comedians were apologizing and going on apology tours and stuff like that. I'm sure you know more about it because that's your wheelhouse, is stand-up comedy. But it seems like in more recent years, last few years, there's a lot happening in comedy where finally, you know, the middle finger is sticking up in people's faces, and it's hilarious and fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was always a little of both, but definitely the apology, watch your tone, watch what you say, watch how you know, this and that, was predominant for a while. And it's definitely turned back the other way. You know, the problem is, and even in, as a comedian and someone who thinks that there's, not thinks, fully believes that either, especially in comedy, but in all things, that either everything's on the table or nothing's on the table. Meaning when it comes to, like, we'll just comedy for sake of conversation, I don't think you should be able to censor someone and their content as far as comedy. You know, there's every single person out there has a different moral line, so there's no way, there's not two, you know, so there's a million, billions, So we just kind of got to be able to let everyone do their comedy how they want. Although I will say, it has created a rise in very lazy comedy. Whereas, you know, especially me, I live very close to Austin, Texas, and I deal with a lot of Austin comedians, and it's just become a hotbed for, like, basically just like someone be like, hey, so women are retarded, and then they say the N-word, and you're like, okay, like, I don't know, man, like, that, this is, you're not really getting a punchline. Like, it's just sensational things, you know, they say, like, salacious stuff. And there's kind of a rise of that, because that was so held back for a while that people are pushed, you know, the pendulum just swings hard the other direction, which is unfortunate, you know, because there is somewhere, as we discussed earlier, more in the middle. It is a little more, that makes a little more sense.
Right. I hadn't even considered that, you know,
yeah.
Because like I said, I am not in the scene, but yeah, that makes sense that, well, so the first person to like say women are retarded, is that funny then?
What? No, see, it's like, I mean, here's the thing. Again, I am of the mind where, like, if you can make a joke where that is a punchline in the joke, that's fine. Whether you're talking about men or women or whatever, it doesn't matter. But if that's like, if you're just saying crazy things to get for the sake of saying crazy things, it's like, oh, people just want to hear crazy stuff because it was held down for so long. And you're like, there's no real crafting. There's no real writing. It's just kind of, how do I get a rise out of people and say the wildest thing I can?
Right. Okay. So, makes sense.
Yeah. It's just made things a little lazy. But, you know, it's that pendulum swings back and forth.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it'll settle a little bit in the center soon enough.
Yeah.
You know, I could use a little break. Well, but at the same time, I pretty much ignored it all anyway. And I call it my feminine privilege, because I know we do need to be aware of what's going on. But I'm like, that's my husband's job. Like, you just let me know. Like, I stress like a woman stresses. And I'm like, I don't have to be the one that goes off to war and all that kind of stuff. And I'm so happy I was born a girl.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you worry about it. Tell me what I got to need, you know, I need to worry about. And in the meantime, we'll just do this fun thing over here in the background, you know,
here doing this magazine. So, I mean, with the magazine now, like, where, how often is it coming out? What's what's your role in the creative process of it?
Yeah. So, my main role, and I think a lot of indie publishers are probably very jealous of Flip City for it, is I'm the marketing department and customer service. For anybody that's in independent publishing, it's pretty much a solo gig. You know, you hire some, you hire out some contractors and stuff like that to actually help make the product. But as far as, you know, creating the product and marketing and all that, that lands pretty much on one person's shoulders. Because we're a two-person team publishing Flip City, the way we break down how we, you know, run the magazine is Scott pretty much is the editor in chief, and I am the marketing and customer service business person. So my role is a little more boring, but I've solved that by making a podcast. So that's my main creative outlet. But it also is marketing as well, because I'm networking with other creators for my podcast, and I've developed it all myself. And it's it really is an entertainment show with a you know, side salad of interviewing independent creators, because that's something that I'm very passionate about, is basically, you know, giving the finger to the man you know, within the indie scene. Like, I think that's kind of like one way to kind of push back on the mainstream, is have a flourishing wonderful independent community.
Yeah.
So that is something I really enjoy doing, is networking within the independent publishing scene and getting to meet all kinds of cool creatives that kind of are somewhat aligned enough. Basically, they just need to love liberty and, yeah, you know, not be an asshole, you know. Then I'm like, okay, you're cool with me.
We can roll.
Oh. Yeah, but the magazine itself, we publish it quarterly, and we've been doing that since 2020, and we just published volume 24. That's at the printer now, and we're working on volume 25 with the first three pages of our lead parody, The Art, being done. And we also have recently been accepted into Diamond Distribution. So we're going to start appearing more in comic book shops and stuff like that. So that's another one of my roles, is like basically getting us distributed to brick and mortars and stuff like that, because that's a whole different audience. Not everybody's online.
Yeah. So, I mean, are you guys, so how are you reaching consumers then? Or is it just to...
Well, at the beginning, we got very, very lucky and were able to kind of capture the attention of a couple of larger YouTubers that loved what we were doing. And so they told their audiences, and we were able to boost our subscriber number to 2,000 print subscribers right there at the beginning. And ever since, it's been a lot more difficult because we've been looking into more traditional digital marketing, mm-hmm, and things like that. And then also crowdfunding and all that kind of stuff. But we were able to make Flip City happen because of those first two YouTubers, basically influencers, telling their audience that we existed. And we've been able to hold on to a decent amount of those subscribers that have been with us since the beginning, because they checked us out and they loved it.
Yeah.
You know? So that's kind of a proud point for me with, that we've been able to hold on to so many people for 5 years.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we are on the right path and we're doing the right thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Because that's the other thing too, is Flip City's not preachy. I mean, when you read it, you can definitely understand, okay, they do have, you know, certain
point of view
on things.
Know?
Yes, yeah. A point of view and an angle. But we don't preach to anybody. It really is all about the laugh, you know? That's how we started, and how we continue is a amalgamation of a ton of different efforts, you know, networking within the independent community, doing crowdfunding, doing some digital marketing, contacting influencers, distributing through Diamond. So every possible way for us to make a dime, we'll do it.
Are you guys doing conventions or anything like that too? Or
I still haven't done a convention. They scare me a little bit.
Really?
Yeah. But although I'm a social person, so they shouldn't.
Yeah.
You know, it's just you invest the money so early on, mm-hmm, you know, and so there's no kind of immediate return on it. And the fact that we're in California is a little, how would we do at a California con? And that's, because also if you're going out of state, you have, you know, your travel expenses to include as well. So I haven't, although I was looking at the Los Angeles Comic Con, which is in September. I was looking at an email they sent me today to see how much their booths were. And I think we'd be able to do okay there. So I may get a booth at this year's LA Comic Con. Just to test the waters and hope I break even. And if we make a profit, even better.
Yeah. You know what I would say is this is, you might consider looking at some smaller regional city conventions kind of out in the Inland Empire or out in like those areas. Because there's a ton of conventions that happen all over. And I mean, they're smaller ones, I'm probably doing 2 to 3 conventions a month. And there's some of them are smaller ones, some are just one days. But man, you can really, especially the smaller ones, you have more opportunity to connect with people, to talk to every guest. You know, as someone who's been to like the LA Comic Con as an attendee and as an exhibitor with publishers, it's tough because it's so big and there's so many guests and people with the people coming are going to get Mark Hamill's autograph and then see what, you know, what the trailer for the newest Marvel movie. And, you know, if you're like a small publisher, man, it's tough to get attention, you know, whereas like the smaller conventions, the buy-in is much less and people are coming there just to look for stuff like that, you know?
Well, Dees, I actually really appreciate that because that's something I do a lot on my show because I'm talking to a lot of independent publishers is I talk a lot about going to conventions. I'm basically all talk when it comes to conventions right now because I'm like, oh, such a weird step because it's an investment, you know, because that's the other thing too, like, we're very particular about Flip City aesthetics, and that would include a table at a convention. Yeah. So I would need to invest in my table aesthetics, you know. But you are right. You are right. I think that is the way to go. And I've been told that multiple times. It's like, start smaller and see how it goes. You know, get feedback from, you know, regular people who haven't been told by their favorite influencer that Flip City is cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I've found, you know, I've done big, I've done medium, I've done small, and I've just found that the medium to small, you get people who you have more opportunity to connect with. They're willing to spend more time with you. You can talk to them more and they'll, you know, connect with your product a little bit more. It's not so salesy, like you're selling them on why you do what you do and why you love your art, not like a carnival barker just trying to get them to buy something, you
right
know? So it feels like more of a genuine connection of someone like, oh, I'm gonna buy this and I'm probably gonna follow you and I'll probably buy something in the future, type of thing, like a real long-term customer.
I like it.
Yeah,
sounds so good. Okay,
but you know, yeah, it's up to you. Obviously, in the end, it's up to how you want to.
Well, obviously,
how you want to do it. But so, how many people are collaborating on, you know, any given issue of Flip City?
Yeah. So our contributor list per magazine runs about 15.
Okay.
Contributors. We have our regular contributors. So we have a lead parody artist and he is who he is. Like, he is always at the very front of the magazine. And it's a premier thing. In fact, if I could just show you one and what it looks like. So this one is volume 21 and our lead parody was House of the Elon. And it's written by Scott McKenzie. And illustrated by Ben Sullivan.
Mm-hmm.
The relationship between those two guys and the work, the way they work together is, it feels like the hand of God is on it. Basically, this guy, Ben, he lives in Australia, but, you know, is a liberty loving individual and very, very funny. So the way it works with him is Scott gives him a script, does not tell Ben, draw this and draw that. He gives him a script and gives him the layout of panels. Like, here's the space you have to work with. And then Ben takes it. They're at the point to where, so Scott will write what he thinks is a 6-page script and give him give Ben the 6-page layout and say, have at it. It's gotten to the point where Ben is now saying, no, I'm going to do 8 pages and I'm going to do a little extra writing and gives it back. And it's not one of those, like, Flip City doesn't, like, we're not tyrants with editorial control when we trust the people that we work with.
Yeah.
So we've been told many, many times that Flip City is very, very fun to work with because it really is about freedom of expression. And, you might get cut or get a little, you know, things sent back if it's poop and it's not up to our level, you know, but anyway, we love Ben. And I don't even remember what your question was, but so he's one of our regular contributors, and we've got several others that appear in every single magazine, and they kind of have carved themselves a little piece of Flip City that they know they're always going to be published. So quarterly, they know they're getting a commission from Flip City in one way or another. And my point was that Scott does about 80% of the writing of the magazine, and the other 20% comes from submissions, where somebody has written and illustrated something, or, you know, written and commissioned an illustrator and they want it published in Flip City and they submit it to us and we're like, thumbs up, thumbs down, type of thing. But about 80% at this point is written by Scott, but we are always looking for more writers. Because we would like long-term goal, like to step out of the actual all fingers in the magazine and just find all the talent and become genuine editors and publishers.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, that takes years. It takes years and years, especially to keep with a tone of something that people think they know what it is, but they don't until you've read several editions and you can understand what Flip City Magazine is. Because a lot of people will kind of pigeonhole us as political satire, and they're not 100% wrong, but it's not, it really isn't. It's cultural, it's true satire. It's not, it's cultural commentary, but because everything's gotten so political, then I guess we appear as a political satire.
Sure.
Because we're commenting on culture.
Yeah,
you know?
It's kind of the first prism people put things through as when they're observing it is their political view. So,
right.
You know, that's the first lens that is used. So that makes sense. So, how often do you guys get things where you're like, we can't do this or we don't, this is...
There's never been anything that's been submitted that is too spicy.
Mm-hmm.
Like culturally late. You know, that somebody wants to submit something that would have been funny like 2 years ago, you know, and it's just, you know, it's past.
Yeah.
It's not really so much like somebody's like throwing, you know, being super racist or like the Jews, you know.
Never, you know, goes out of style.
Kinda. You know, like every once in a while we'll get those as well, but it is more like, okay, you miss, you know, that was done a million times already in Flip City 2-3 years ago. You just got to get more current, because that's the other thing too, because we publish in print. We need to be somewhat fortune tellers and think of what might like still be hot by the time print gets in people's hands.
Right. Because you've got, you like, if you're quarterly, you've got, you know, you might put something into action in the first month of that quarter, but by the time it comes out and gets into someone's hands 4 to 6 months later and they're reading it, it can be wildly irrelevant.
Right. Or like completely beaten to death online.
Right.
You know, so then it's kind of like meow in Flip City, you know? So like, I think one example, and this hasn't always been in Flip City, but we thought because not only are we trying to entertain people with the content, we're actually trying to be kind of a historical reference, like a weird, wacky historical reference. So things will still be funny 5 years down the line for somebody that lived through it, or even, you know, a grandparent 30 years down the line, you know, picking up their old Flip City and like talking to their grandchildren about, oh, this is what that meant. Can you believe these people were like this? Hopefully, you know.
Can you believe these people only had two genders?
Right?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Anyway, Zerzixes, why don't you head to bed?
That is funny. We pretty much have a short story exactly like that.
Well, you know, that is definitely topical. So...
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah. It's a wonderful magazine. Anybody that is liberty-minded and likes comedy should enjoy Flip City Magazine. Oh, and one thing that's pretty cool, too, if you don't believe me, on our website, we have a magazine that you can read for free. Like, we do like to put our money where our mouth is, and we give you a nice, fat sampler.
Okay.
So you can see what our writing and illustration, our contributors are like. So just go to flipcitymag.com if you want to check that out.
Okay. Well, Chrissy, tell people where they can subscribe or order the magazine, follow you guys on social media and all that.
Yeah. So I just said it. Now I feel sad because I feel like I closed the show down too early.
Oh, no, no, it's okay.
It's flipcitymag.com. You can find everything there, all of our social media,
all that
where to buy it. It's a pretty, I think it's a pretty user intuitive, intuitive website to navigate. But if you want to go straight to social media and find us, we have been blessed that we've been able to have at Flip City Mag across social media. So Gab, Twitter, Facebook, Substack, YouTube, just do at Flip City Mag. And yeah.
All right.
That's where you can find us.
All right. Well, everyone, make sure you give them a follow on social media. Keep an eye out for their... Oh, there's my dog jumping into the
corner. Oh, boy.
He wants to play. He's like, you done yet? We're going to play.
Yes.
He found a toy. give them a follow. Subscribe to the magazine. Buy the next one. Go check out the sampler on flipcitymag.com. When's the next issue hitting stands?
The next issue is at the printer now, so it should be in subscribers' hands within 5 weeks.
Okay. All right, guys. Great. Anything else before we get out of here, Chrissy?
I'm good. Oh, well, check. Deez, did we ever schedule you to come visit Creative Chaos, or is that still
hanging
out there?
Sorry, this is my dog still. I think we're
doing
it
for anybody that's interested, Creative Chaos is on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, and you can find that on our YouTube channel and also across alt platforms like Rumble and Pilled and stuff like that, and also on the Madness Comic Network. And Deez will be visiting
May 8th. That's the one.
It's going to be so, I can't wait, because I'm going to shove you in Conspiracy Corner and make you wear a tinfoil hat, brother.
Oh, you want me to put it on over the one I'm already wearing?
If you have one, bring it.
Because I can go deep on the conspiracies. It's
you're gonna love it.
Yeah. How soon do you want me to start talking about the Anunnaki lizard people living at the center of the Earth?
Well, that there's probably a couple different because I have a wheel of conspiracy, wheel of conspiracy.
Ooh,
that we spin. And it has all kinds of different subjects on it. So you'll see how it works when you come on Creative Chaos. I'm sure you're going to have a great time, because it is meant to be an entertainment show with a little, you know, side salad of like promotion. So you get to promote yourself first, and then we get to have fun after that.
Perfect. I love it. Well, guys, catch me on their show on May 8th. Otherwise, we are going to get out of here for this week. Again, go to flipcitymag.com on all, or the website, check it out on all social media, get a copy of the magazine, and that's it, guys. We're gonna get out of here. Like I said, for the Social Hour, I have been Deez, and for Chrissy, thank you very much, and we will see you guys all next week.